Welcome to the Hour of the Time. I'm Carolyn Nelson. Some of you can still hear William Cooper at the Preparedness Expo 94 tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And Sunday, the conference is from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at California's San Jose Convention Center, Halls A and B. Telephone 408-277-5277 for driving instructions. That is 408-277-5277. Tonight's program is going to be different for all of you gentlemen listening. Can sit back and listen. It's ladies' call-in time. I hope we'll hear from Annie, William Cooper's wife from San Jose. Pooh, by the way, their 3 3/4-year-old daughter, recovered well from her ingestion of hairspray, and she's there with them in San Jose, and I'm sure having a great time. They thank each and every one of you for all your telephone calls and faxes and for your prayers. Before you begin calling in, your caring and responsible concerns, information, or any telephone numbers that you assume responsibility for sharing, let me point out that during these 4 days of reruns through to next Tuesday, you've noticed that I've focused on the state constitution, Arizona's in particular, now 84 years old, covering 35 pages with 28 articles. Articles 23 and 24, both about prohibition, were repealed in 1932. Remember that the United States Constitution covers 7 pages in this particular state of Arizona booklet, with 7 articles and 27 amendments. That's 7 pages in comparison to the 35 pages of the Arizona Constitution. The 26th article of the Arizona State Constitution has 3 sections. Militia. 1. The composition of the militia. The militia of the state of Arizona shall consist of all able-bodied male citizens of the state between the ages of 18 and 45 years, and of those between said ages who shall have declared their intention to become citizens of the United States, residing therein, subject to such exemptions as now exist, or as may have hereafter be created by the laws of the United States or of this state. Section 2, composition and designation of organized militia. The organized militia shall be designated the National Guard of Arizona and shall consist of such organized military bodies as now exist under the laws of the Territory of Arizona or as may hereafter be authorized by law. Section 3, conformity to federal regulations. The organization, equipment, and discipline of the National Guard shall conform as nearly as shall be practicable to the regulations for the government of the armies of the United States of America. We're going to open the line soon for calling in. We welcome all of you ladies, young and old, out there to call in with your answers and your questions and things you want to share with each other. The number is 602-333-2174. Remember, please, to turn down your radio when you call. For other evenings when the subject may be a little more serious, remember to call FCC at 308-381-4721 to talk to a person about the jamming in your area. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Fine.
I'm glad to see it's ladies' night tonight. I'm wondering what we might be able to do to get Bill Cooper back on the air at 8 o'clock out here on the East Coast. Is there any possibility at all you think he might reconsider that? Or?
Well, have you called him or written to him or
would that be the best thing for me to write to him?
Well, have you ever tried to do something like this before?
Well, I would certainly like to do it now because I think we really need to hear him out here on the East Coast. You know, we have to start very late here, and we need that information from him. It's important, I think, that that information get out to the people out here on the East Coast. We're really far behind.
Well, I thank you for the suggestion, and maybe we'll hear from some other people, too, about this subject.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because he seems to be one of the only people out there that's willing to share all this information with us, and we just really miss him out here in the East Coast, that's all I can say. I will write him a letter, too, and tell him that.
All right, and maybe we'll hear from some other people with ideas about what you might do besides just writing a letter.
I sure hope so.
Okay, thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, the number is 1-602-333-2174. Another thing that you might do is take a note to ask your senator for pages 842 to 843. For Bill H.R. 3355 for information about the Royal Hong Kong Police. That's pages 842 to 843. H.R. 3355 for information about the Royal Hong Kong Police. Once again, the number is 602-333-2174. I have another paragraph to read you from the state constitution, and I'm going to hold off a little bit longer. Here's someone on the line. Hello, you're on the line.
Hi, I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Yes, sir, we were hoping to have ladies on the program tonight. Maybe you tuned in just a little bit late. Do you have someone there who could talk to us for you?
I don't. I'm the only one up right now, but I just wanted to hear about the jamming that you say, because I'm experiencing that quite a bit, and I just wanted to hear if you actually have confirmation that there is jamming.
Well, I won't be able to report tonight, because we do have a ladies' night tonight, but I'll give you the number again that you can call.
Okay.
308-381-4721.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. That's 308-381-4721.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we'll wait again for the next caller. The number is 602-333-2174. Please don't forget to turn down your radio. Another address that I can give to you, people have been calling in to ask about surplus and stuff, preparedness, equipment, and supplies. Post Office Box 3300, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. I'll repeat this later. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Karen. My name is Justin. I'm from California. And I would like to acknowledge what the lady said about getting a second hour on. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm not asking, I demand.
Oh.
Get a second hour. And I, too, am making that call for that purpose. And put me on the list.
Very good.
I would also like to tell people about a book called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television, and it's by Jerry Mander, M-A-N-D-E-R, by William Morrow Company Incorporated, the publisher, 1978, and it's a book about what TV's doing to you, and I suggest people turn in their TVs and get a gun, And I also would like to call out for...
Let me comment there. That's an interesting idea, and I know many of us are cutting back on the amount of television that we watch, or we're being much more selective. I did meet in the White Mountain Apache Reservation at Becker Butte a young man from England touring, and he said emphatically that you Americans are so naive. He said the first thing you must do is just throw out your television. They control your mind through it.
It is. That's what it talks about, brainwashing. It goes into everything, and once you read this book, it's just like, aha, the aha experience is just, you know, it's really apparent.
Very good. Would you repeat it again?
It's called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television by Jerry Mander, M-A-N-D-E-R, and it's about $8.95 for a paperback, easily obtained at the library as well. And I wanted to also ask people for information. If anybody, I hope, has read Bill's book, I hardly suggest it because I've only been listening to your station for 3 weeks now, and I've already obtained the book, and I've come across a paragraph that is so disturbing to me, I would like to do what Bill is saying, read everything, listen to everything, but don't believe anything, and I'm trying to search this out. It's on page 89. Is it possible to read the paragraph quickly?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's
You Hold a Pale Horse, right? That's the name
yes,
of the book.
Bill's
for
book.
The new people.
Okay, it's and listen carefully, folks, because this is the last line of the shocker. Okay, I'm kind of nervous.
Just calm down, you'll be fine.
Thank you for holding my hand. Okay, it starts out in the bottom paragraph there on the 89. In the early 1940s, the IG Farben Chemical Company employed a Polish salesman who sold cyanide to the Nazis for use in Auschwitz. The same salesman also worked as a chemist in the manufacture of the poison gas. The same cyanide gas, along with Zircon B and malathion, was used to exterminate millions of Jews and other groups. Their bodies were then burned to ashes in the ovens. After the war, the salesman, fearing for his life, joined the Catholic Church and was ordained a priest in 1946. One of his closest friends was a Dr. Wolf, I'll spell the name. Last name is capital S-V-M-U-N-E-S-S. Dr. Wolf Muniz, the mastermind behind the November 1978 to October 79 and March 8 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Center for Disease Control in New York, San Francisco, and four other American cities that loosed the plague of AIDS upon the American people. The salesman was ordained Poland's youngest bishop in 1958. After a 30-day reign, his predecessor was assassinated, and our ex-cyanide gas salesman assumed the papacy as Pope John Paul II. Wow, that made my blood freeze, and I would like to verify this by anybody out there who has heard of this man. I happened to have seen this singular name in an article in one of Chuck Harder's tabloids, things that come out periodically. And if I could read just one quick paragraph from that, same singular name, it says, a Dr. W, S-Z-M-U-N-E-S-S, born in Poland and educated in Russia, came to this country in 1969. Muniz's immigration to the U.S. was probably the most fateful immigration in our history. He, by unexplained process, became the head of the New York City Blood Bank. How does a Russian-trained doctor become head of one of the largest blood banks in the world? Doesn't that strike you as peculiar? This article, like I said, was in a tabloid, and it was written by a Dr. William Campbell Douglas, who is out of Clayton, Georgia, and evidently puts out monthly called The Cutting Edge. And anybody who can help me verify this, and you should be wanting to verify it too, because it's the most shocking thing I've read in my life. And hopefully somebody will call in and maybe have heard of this guy. I happened to find, trying to Sherlock this down, a book called A Pictorial Biography of John Paul II, and it also says that he worked at a place called Solvay Chemicals in his, I guess, I forget the city, it's south of Warsaw, where he was born. So there must be something to it, and I'd like to get to the bottom of it one way or the other to prove or disprove it for my own mind. And just like Bill says, find out. And I think he agrees with the quote, if I may quote Bertrand Russell, who says, what we need is not the will to believe, but the wish to find out, which is the exact opposite. People should be doing like Bill says, find out. So I'd like some people to give me some more leads, because that's where I am on that.
Well, great. One thing that could happen is someone could call in tonight, or if you have...
I'm listening.
Right.
I would like to hear more about this and interact with somebody who has information.
Right, or in case they can't find it tonight, because we just announced...
I'm going to be listening.
They could write in to me, and then at some future date, we could share it.
Great, because, this is inquiring minds. Well, you need to find this stuff out. This is just, you know, too revolting. The government's goose-stepping and the Pope, too, for Christ's sake. So I'd also like to tell people in California, if they want to try to obtain a copy of the U.S. Constitution and the California State Constitution, I just called my local the state fellow here, Henry Mello's office, to get a copy, and the first copy that I ordered from the library said at the bottom, compliments of Henry Mello. So all you have to do is call your local fella, and they'll send it to you, compliments of, as it should be, free.
Free, yes.
Pay for it.
Certainly should be. The law of the land should be available everywhere. We shouldn't really have to hunt for it. And I hope everybody's going to be speaking up and making sure that in future years we don't have to seek and search.
And I hope everybody will call Swiss American Company tonight and say, hey, we want a second hour of Bill Cooper. And I realize that the reasons was, you know, the split shift of, you know, the early and the later thing. And now that he's back in gear, maybe somebody will spend that hour. Maybe you, Carolyn, or someone will donate that hour and go, you know, have like a tape recording library that people can go back through the series of Babylon and the treason and all these tapes to record them as he encourages us to do ourselves.
Well,
so pick up your pen and the cudgel and call 1-800 and call Bill and say, we want you again, you know?
Okay.
Wake up.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, lots of information tonight. I hope you wrote it down all right. Here's another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is a call from Oklahoma.
Hi.
I was able to get a copy of Behold a Pale Horse in a local bookstore the other day.
Well, 1994 is full of lots of new things.
Isn't it?
Some horrors and some good things.
Yes. It's at a bookstore here in Oklahoma City called the American Opinion Bookstore. And people can get it if they just ask for it. They'll get that stuff. Anyway, I wondered if, since this is Ladies' Night, if you or any of the listeners could address the issue of the woman's involvement in the small militia squad and what we can do and where our focus should be. I've been thinking along the lines of being able to make shoes and being able to weave cloth and build shelter and keep home under extreme duress. And I'm not sure if that's the right focus to take. And I just wondered if you could address that.
Right. Well, for me, I'd say it's a good focus to start on. I find that when you start, day by day, you add more and more things to your agenda. And before you know it, people are asking you what to do.
Well, do you think...
Why don't we leave it an open question for the other callers?
Okay. Do you think that we should be thinking in terms of the worst-case scenario, like wilderness living, or should we be thinking in terms more of anarchy in the cities?
Well, you're kind of touching on a sensitive area there, because I think we need, as women and men, to have a global outlook, you might say, meaning that you need to focus all the way around the subject and have at least 10 approaches. Don't just focus on one. Don't just think, you know, the enemy's going to come in the front door. Don't forget to check the back door and the side door and the top floor, and maybe there's a cellar door, too. You got to keep an eye on all different approaches. And if you close your mind after you get the first idea, either you say you can't do it or you say you can do it, you've locked out all the other ideas that would pop in if you keep it a little more fluid.
Well, I'd be very interested in hearing listeners' comments about that. And with regard to the hour of the program, I loved it when it was on twice a day, but I can certainly understand his needing family time. Our reception was better at the earlier hour than it is in the evening.
And where are you calling from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
It's about 11:20 in the evening here, and we used to get it at 11 and at 7. And the 7 o'clock show had better reception. But I'll take him anytime I can get him.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's 602-333-2174. And remember to keep your radio turned down. I'm going to repeat that address, Surplus and Stuff, Preparedness, Equipment, and Supplies, Post Office Box 3300, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Good morning. Good evening. You're on the air.
Taylor, this is the guy that called you from New York earlier in the week.
Oh, right. But may I remind you, this is ladies' night tonight. I guess I should repeat that from time to time.
No, this is a ladies' thing.
Is all right.
When I was working in Dallas, a lot of the, well, they had 7 Iranians arrested down there at the airport.
When was this?
Oh, about 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
And they each had a doped-up girl that they were taking out of the country with them. They had their passports and everything, but they weren't coherent enough to know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrested them. And if that's not a ladies' issue, I don't know what is. But I was working with a guy from France, and he says that's not uncommon over there either.
Yeah, at the airport, sort of drugged young women were...
Yeah, they were kidnapping them and taking them out of the country.
Taken out of the country. I guess it is a ladies' issue, and...
I just wanted to see what the callers have to say about that.
Right. Is this the only incident that you've heard about, or do you have any documentation?
No, but it was in the paper. Like I say, it was 10 years ago. I don't remember.
Right. Maybe you could find out what paper it was in and look it up in the library.
Sure, no problem.
And then we could start following the issue a little more. Cause
like I say, my friend from France said it was common over there, too.
Thank you for calling in. That's disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Well, we'll hope that he can get some documentation on that, and maybe some other people will have documentation, can verify, and we can look into it. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Chairman. I know it's ladies' night, but another vote for the 8 o'clock hour on the East Coast.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, they are ladies' issues, aren't they? Early hours, so everybody can get a good night's sleep on the East Coast, and so their children can listen sitting around the dinner table. Here's our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Hillary from the FEMA state calling.
Oh, hi. Hillary from the FEMA state? What state is that?
Florida.
Uh-huh. The big emergency, right, that never goes away, Florida.
Once they get their foot in the door, it's there. I just wanted to kind of relate kind of a slightly depressing thing that happened to me last week. I called my senator's office in Washington, D.C., and I spoke to his assistant who specializes on the crime bill about the crime bill and points I didn't like and asking questions. And he mentioned the ATF, and I said, oh, yeah, so people brought Waco, Texas. And he was like, whoa, wait a minute. They were just enforcing federal laws. That's all they were doing. And it got pretty heated after that. But it came down to that the states have no rights, that the federal government supersedes the states, that the Constitution is not what we think it is, and a regulated militia means organized by the government, and, you know, just the worst-case scenario terms of understanding what America's about and rights are about. And
Could I interrupt there and say that one thing you might do, I don't know if you could call him back and ask him to write this to you in a letter so you'd have it in writing, because those are pretty serious things that you're telling us, and maybe if he would put it down in writing, it would clarify his thoughts, and then certainly we could study it more.
That's an idea.
documentation
really
all the time. Documentation.
Open to communications.
Yeah.
I've had better luck speaking with other representatives of people, other offices, but he seemed to really represent the New World Order, and his last name of Sessions really made me wonder.
Oh.
You know, if he was related to
right.
William Sessions.
Right.
But it's a popular name, and maybe not.
What else is going on down in Florida?
Well, a lot of people are buying guns, and
women too.
Oh yeah.
Have you noticed? Have you been to the gun shows, and do you see a pretty good percentage of women?
No, but they advertise classes at the gun shops, and there's quite a bit of interest in buying firearms. Ammunition's getting very low. They're running out, even on, you know, 22 magnums and that type of stuff, and well, there's, where I am in Northern Florida, there's a lot of lodges, a lot of masons and all these type of lodges, and there's a very, for the small amount of people that live around here, they have a lot of lodges.
My goodness, I know one person commented that there were about 12 in a very small town, I think under 40,000 people. I don't know if you've counted them.
Yeah, well, it's an idea.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, tonight kind of challenge your listeners to maybe all kind of get ourselves into Washington for the anniversary of the Waco fire and protest, express our feelings about it. Mm-hmm. I just saw the Linda Thompson video, second one, and she has a portion in it where she goes over where people talk about Waco, the big live video at press conferences and the senators and of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that there was so much involvement of the people who'd seen it. And that was very encouraging.
Very good. Are you talking about the first one or the second?
Have the first one. The second one just came out.
Must be too new, so people haven't all seen it.
But in the second one, she follows up with the reaction that some of the viewers had and how they took the video and kind of distributed it to various elected officials and public officials.
Hmm.
And
I was kind of touched in a very serious way, by the way. It ended with President Clinton addressing the dedication of the Holocaust Museum, I believe, in Washington, on the very same day that there was a fire in Waco.
Yeah, well, maybe not a coincidence. Certainly, you know, Schindler's List being such a popular movie this year and getting so much attention, that's not a coincidence either. That must be planned because of the big studios and the money behind them.
Right, and I suppose we all know that April 19th was the start of the revolution with the English up in New England.
I didn't know that.
Another coincidence. Yeah, April 19th. I looked it up in the almanac, World Almanac.
What's April 19th?
When the British pushed the Americans into the Revolutionary War up near Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts.
The date of the Great Experiment.
Right.
Well, thanks
for calling in.
And it's good to hear about Pooh. Put her on the prayer list at my church. And
good, thank you.
Love her dearly.
So many called in. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Bye, Hillary. Oops, there we go. Now, shall I repeat that number one more time? The FCC is 308-381-4721. Hello, you're on the air. Maybe just a minute there.
Yeah, you need to take a break.
I'll let you know, okay?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling from Abilene, Texas, and I've listened to you a couple times. What do you think about, I have two things I wanted to ask. What do you think about having an, once a month maybe, if you gave notice ahead of time, that just have international callers from around the world, I think it would give us some encouragement if we knew. I know I was really encouraged the other day on CNN, on their World Report, and I was actually listening to radio, and I had the television muted, so I didn't I didn't hear what they were saying, but there was a typical globalist fellow sitting there talking about the economic community. And then they went outside and showed some demonstrators that had banners. It was somewhere in Northern Europe, and I mean Western Europe, and they were holding up banners that said things like, one of them said, Big Brother is coming, and another one said something about stopping the New World Order. And I thought, you know, if we could have just international callers, it would maybe help boost our morale a little bit to know that there are people around the world who are doing their part, you know, and even if they don't have weapons and some of the things that we have.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Are any of you out there also receiving letters from people or outside of the country? Are they wondering what's going on in this country?
That's a good idea,
and we could share it.
Yeah, but that would be good. Something else. I mailed, and I don't know if you got your hands on a copy of this, but I mailed two or three little pamphlets from a place in Florida that calls themselves Saving America.
Uh-huh.
And it's really quite professional looking. And it was written before the election in 92. But still, the information in it is very good, and they are still selling these, and they're very cheap. And when you pull it out kind of accordion style, it's about, it's quite lengthy. It talks a little bit about math. Knows where they can get more.
Great. And, do you think you could give us the address?
Yes, I will. And they have an 800 number. And the thing is, they're $7 a hundred.
Wow.
And when I go in grocery store stuff, you know, I just kind of put one on the tomatoes and one somewhere and leave one at the convenience stores at the counter.
Great.
I have one convenience store here that's a national chain that is letting me put them in there.
Oh.
But anyway, it's, let me give you the 800 number. It's 1-800-633-7692. And
repeat
the outfit
that,
is...
You want to repeat that one?
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
800-633-7692. It's called Saving America. It's box 1205, Middleburg, and that's Middleburg, Florida, 32050-1205.
Great.
And I know that people would be ordering them blind, but for $7, you know, you can't lose much if you get it and you don't. It does not talk at all about the mystery religions or anything like that, but I don't know how it could keep people from starting to question what is going wrong. And like I said, it's professional looking, too. So if everybody ordered like 100 of them, this fellow can't make any money on them. I figure he's in the printing business because I don't know how he can do them for 7 cents a piece. And that includes postage. That includes postage, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. And I think everybody got the information, but if not, they can call me.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye. Swiss America Trading began to sponsor the Hour of the Time about 1 year ago. You are kept well informed by exclusive reports from Swiss America, which was established by the owner, Craig Smith, in 1982 to provide financial alternatives for you. Call our representative, Gene Miller, at 1-800-BUY-COIN and ask for recent reports. 1-800-BUY-COIN. One of these reports reminds you that in 1917, the Trading with the Enemy Act was passed. This legislation is still in place. Its Article 5B states that the President may investigate, regulate, or prohibit under such rules and regulations as he may prescribe by means of licenses or otherwise any transactions in foreign exchange for the export, hoarding, melting, or earmarking of gold or silver coins or bullion or currency. With this awesome power, the President of the Untied States I thought I was the one that invented that expression, but it's the United States, of course, may do what he pleases with our money or with gold if he deems our monetary system to be in jeopardy. Section 5B was used by Roosevelt in 1933 to confiscate gold. President Carter used it to freeze Iranian assets during the hostage crisis. Will Clinton, President Clinton, also use it when we take our money out of the banks and rush to buy gold or wire money offshore? Don't bet against it. Historically, governments have banned the ownership of gold prior to their citizens refusing to use that which they call money. Why should it be different here? It's already happened before. All that is required because of the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 is for Clinton to issue a decree. Roosevelt used the authority under the premise of a national emergency. He empowered the Treasury to maintain complete control over all transactions in gold, silver, and foreign exchange. On April 5, 1933, an executive order was issued demanding complete surrender of gold coins, gold bullion, and gold certificates still in possession of individuals. The owners had 25 days to turn their gold into a Federal Reserve Bank. Failure to comply was punishable by a fine of $10,000 or 10 years in prison or both. One extension was authorized, which was permitted the holding of gold under special license for use in industry, certain professions, and rare and unusual coins of value to collectors. Call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN. Ask him what to do with your extra money. Remember, this legislation is still on our books. Ownership of gold is not a right, it's a privilege. The safest way to own gold still is in the form of a collection. Now, some of you will remember that a few months ago I read to you that the Russians were stunned by a decision in August 1993, 8 months ago, to invalidate the pre-1993 rubles. This was published in the Arizona Republic, Sunday, July 25th, 1993. Informed Russians, who were smart enough to hold on to gold coins, have avoided the 2,500% per year inflation, and now hold real buying power compared with their unfortunate comrades who didn't believe in gold. So call Gene Miller, ask him for the reports that he has currently, and talk to him about what you might do to protect your assets. Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN. All right, we'll open the lines again. Is the caller still on the air? No, we had to wait too long. We'll wait for the next caller. In addition to... Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Carolyn. Guess who?
Right.
Oh, Ed.
But this is...
Ed, Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh.
This is ladies' night, but...
Well, I know. I
have a quick comment.
I wanted to get my vote in for the 8 to 9 o'clock hour.
All right.
A previous lady that was asking about, what was it, the papacy or something?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hey, the thing I tried to tell you a few nights ago was about Jeff Baker, who wrote Checkmate, The Game for Princes. That's one of the cartels that he explores and documents.
Very good. Thanks
for
calling.
Yeah, 800 number, 800-252-2537.
Do you want to repeat that?
1-800-252-2537.
For information about?
It's the book Checkmate,
right.
Game of Princes.
Very good. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Can I mention one other thing?
Okay.
If you want a trim bulletin that is the constitutional voting record of any of your congressmen in the country, you call 1-800-SPLPRIM.
Repeat that again. I didn't quite get it.
1-800-SP is in person, L-T-R-I-M, trim.
T-I-R-I-M.
R-I-M.
M on the end.
Bulletin. okay?
All right.
Okay, I'll get off.
Fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air?
Yes. How are you, Carolyn?
Oh, fine. What state are you calling from?
From Shelby, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yes. You know, we listened to you and Mr. Cooper. We did get you on WCR out of Tennessee at 8 o'clock, but now we have to wait until 12. Are y'all going to be back on or at 8 o'clock, or do you know?
For the present, we have gone off the air. You might write to Craig Smith.
Craig Smith.
At Swiss America Trading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, how could we get some information about the tapes on treason?
Just call me in the daytime, 1-602-333-5174.
Okay.
Or on the weekend, 7 days a week, save your money, call on the weekend.
Okay.
And the treason tapes are available for non-members, $9 each, for members, $7 each, and there are 13 in the series so far. And don't forget the documents, they're $85 for 623 pages, I believe, $85 for non-members and $75 for members. Very important that you share them.
Oh, yeah, because and everything that y'all are telling us, we really appreciate it. It's good to have people like you that can bring out the truth and tell everybody this stuff. Well, I appreciate you talking to us, and we'll talk to you later, and thanks for the information.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Call again. Mm-hmm. Bye. I just want to mention another way to plan ahead and protect your family. We will continue to offer another few days the same ready reserve foods until Thursday of next week. I'll tell you more in a minute. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Fine. You remember
this is Lady Mano, but this is for the caller. Two calls back. Saving
okay.
America, beware of Trojan horses. It's Bobo Greitz's organization.
Saving America. That was that little $7, $100 for $7?
Yeah. Saving America is Bobo Greitz.
Okay, thank you very much for the information.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, while we wait for the next caller, we will continue to offer for another few days until next Thursday the Ready Reserve Foods, the modular unit, and the garden seeds. Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Veronica from Ground Zero, right down the street from the CIA.
Oh, where is that?
Northern Virginia. Yeah.
Right on.
Well, I'm really glad that you're having this show tonight. I think it's real important for people to understand that women make up 51% of this earth, and we are really powerful as a group.
Right, and I hope you begin to show it. We need a warlike or a fighting spirit to get our Constitution back, and I think we have to keep our eye on that goal, too. Isn't that one of the main, or the main goal, the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights?
And the Bill of Rights, yes. I'd really like to bring up the fact that, you know, if you could get the 8 o'clock hour on, there may be a more suitable time to have some of the women's issues put out maybe once a week, too. Things that women could do on their own. You know, we are the nucleus of the family, and we project ourselves onto our young children and help motivate the men in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really important that we try to get out a little more information out to the women. I know I have talked to a lot of Native Americans, and you can see over the years the culture of women that have actually stood up to the hardships that they've had to put up with raising a family. And a lot of the American Indian movement that started in the 70s was caused by the grandmothers and the mothers coming to the young men and saying, look, we can't feed our children. What can you do to help us out?
Hmm.
And I'd really encourage people from the Native American communities to come and join in with this, because they've been struggling for sovereignty for centuries.
Right.
And I really appreciate this fact that you're on tonight.
Well, thank you, and I hope you'll call again and have your suggestions ready for the next time. I suppose tonight was a little bit of a surprise for everybody.
Yeah.
And
oh, there's lots of things that we could do. You know, I was just really outraged when I took my daughter to get her school closed back in September and all the things that are made in China. And even though they're popular, you have to instill in your child that the prisoners and the low wages are not going to get it. You just have to do without that kind of a product. And remember that Americans need to work too.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, we're very powerful. We have the biggest buying power.
Right.
We go get food. I mean, if we're going to support the big chains, we ought to know who has the money behind the big chains. And if you start looking into who owns Safeway and the history of their rise to power, it's going to make you sick and you're never going to walk into another Safeway again. I'm just using that as an example, but there are so many businesses out there that women need to concentrate on.
Right. Do you have some documentation on that? That would be interesting to share.
Yeah, because I...
Another time. And don't forget to document your other ideas, too, how you feel about the hour of the time and the time it's on. And let Swiss America know, too.
I think at the second hour, you could probably fit a little bit more of the women's issues into it. I know that the survival is really important for the men to hear from a person that's already gone through the training, but at the same time, women need to know what survival steps they can take to help out, and there are things that women can do, buying things in bulk and trying to get a community organization of food. It's a lot cheaper. It's probably fresher.
Right.
You know, and there are so many things that offshoots from that you can get together where women don't have... And when you look at the papers and the pictures in El Salvador or any of these other countries, it's the women that are standing there with the pictures of their missing husbands, and they have to carry on, and they have to know how to. And poor women in Serbia, they're the ones being raped and forced into this eugenics movement so that they'll have a pure breed eventually. You know, the rapes and torture that were going on there were just awful. And it could happen in America. You know, that's one thing we seem to forget. We always say, oh, it won't happen here in this great country.
Right.
But
actually, we're in the middle of the beginning of it.
Right.
It's going on all around us. And we're just not hearing it because the media is closed to a lot of the issues that are important to share.
But they're dehumanizing it when they put the pictures of the missing children on something as friendly as a milk carton. And the women aren't standing out in front of the courthouse with pictures of their sons or daughters that are missing and saying, where are they? You know, find them. So it's a dehumanizing of the missing child in a sense.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, and please write us some of your ideas, and we'll try to share them.
Yeah, another real good one is if you can't get through to your senator or congressman, is start writing a campaign to the wife. I really feel like last night's program, the October 13th of the Mystery Babylon series, would be wonderful to send to Mrs. Quayle and ask her if this is the way she wants to bring her children up in the Mormon church.
Very interesting idea.
You know,
start writing to the wives of...
Well, how else can you get to a man except pick on his wife? And that was evident with Bill Clinton this week. He has never stood up for anybody that he has proposed to be a part of his administration. But as soon as they started picking on his wife, it was the first time he got angry and pounded his fist. And if you go to your senator and he doesn't do anything, then go write a letter to his wife and say, don't you have any kind of program? I can't get through to the school board. Can't you help me? And, you know, women have a lot of power in the house, in a lot of houses.
That's true. That's a good idea. Thanks for calling, and we'll try to do this again and get your ideas ready, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, the prices on the modular unit for new people are $1,088 retail for a year's supply for one person. Hold on. You're on the air, and I'll be right with you. Listeners, $888 for the modular unit, and for CAGI members, $800 for the container of garden seeds, which will plant a garden plot of 65 feet by 124 feet four times, because there are four cans within the container. Listeners, $48. CAGI members, $40. I'll try to repeat this again later. Hello, how can you talk with us now on Ladies' Night? Do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I have a couple of important things that I know about, and I'd like to let you know. Just recently, EATF has acquired the OV-10 Bronco attack helicopters from the Marine Corps. Now, why does the BATF need these attack helicopters?
Good question.
Also, in H.R. 3375, there's an 8-page bill that will ban about every gun that all the gun owners have. And also, stuck away in the crime bills, pages 79, 80, 81, and 82, we're going to be importing, supporting, paying Hong Kong policemen to come over here and be policemen. Now, I know the reasons why this is happening. And it is because for years in Hong Kong, they have been monitoring all the traffic with these microcomputer chips in your ignition system. If you go out and look in the highway, these little round reflector discs, about every sixth or seventh one will have a computer, little computer laser disc thing in it. And they've been using this in Hong Kong for years. If you go out on the back of your highway international signs, like Highway 32 international road signs, I know all over here in Indiana we have them. They have like a reflector tape. And if you turn out your lights at night and you put a magnet, a powerful magnet, that will sometimes illuminate these strips. These are going to be used by international forces. And this will be
international forces?
Yeah, there's international forces in America now. Matter of fact, in case you want to know, $62 million of the defense budget this year is going to be spent to refurbish the barracks at Fort Lewis, Washington, to house a 4,500-man armored brigade from Scotland and England.
Do you have some documentation on this?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
I'm sure you have it right with you there. Would you send us?
I can make copies and send it. And what you people want to know in this international court, you can be tried on genocide. Now, according to the treaty we signed with the UN, thanks to Senator Proxmire, genocide is described as inflicting mental anguish on any identifiable group. Also, you can be tried for coalition, intervention, environmentalism, environmental offenses, insults to a foreign state. If I say Gorbachev is known as the Baltic Butcher, and Mr. Gorbachev decides that I am causing him mental anguish, they can come and arrest me. And now, through this international court, I can be tried to a court of my peers in Sri Lanka, or anywhere they want to send me. This is the international court. I just heard this mentioned on USA News today.
Well, we need to keep learning all of these different things. If you want to send us the documentation, if any of the other readers have documentation too they want to share, just mail it in. Would you repeat again that about the traffic? Where was this disc in the road? Or
there's a little round metal highway deflectors. A girl called Chuck Carter the other day, and she said the guy she knew dug up some of these because he had heard about it.
Are they right in the street, you mean? Right in
No, there? They're little round deflectors. Okay. You'll see them, the little round discs that they put in the newer highways.
All right. Mm-hmm.
With the white lines. They took the little round disc and it looked reflecting.
Right.
Inside them, like every sixth or seventh one, they have this little computer disc. Now, you can use these because they're putting a new computer chip. That's why the reason for the cloaker law that you're going to pass. If this passes, no vehicle will be allowed on the road prior to 1980 because of these computer chips that they're now putting in the cars. Been doing this in Thailand and also in Hong Kong for years. And these policemen are expert at monitoring traffic.
All right, sir. I'm going to step in here. Thank you very much for calling, and I hope the women are listening to this.
That's American.
Thank you. I'm going to read you a little more from the Constitution of Arizona. I want to stress that you and I must keep our focus, our eye, not the all-seeing eye, but our eye on our goal, God willing, to restore the Constitution of the United States of America with its Bill of Rights. Notice that the following law and history of the people of Arizona and how they maintained their focus on the goal of getting statehood. The Constitution of Arizona in its original form was adopted in the afternoon of December 9, 1910, as the Constitutional Convention, by which the instrument was drafted, concluded 61 days of earnest labor. 40 of the 52 delegates composing the body voted approval of the instrument, while 12 voiced opposition to its provisions, chiefly those establishing the initiative, referendum, and recall. Nevertheless, one of the members voted no, appended his signature to the document. Formulation of the Constitution was authorized by an enabling act of Congress, which received the President's signature on June 20, 1910, after a historic struggle waged by the people of Arizona over more than a quarter of a century for the right of local self-government and Arizona's recognition as a member of the Union of States. Remember, they worked for 25 years. We have a job ahead, and it could last that long. Conclusion of the labors of the Constitutional Convention did not, however, automatically admit Arizona into the Union. That long-sought end still depended upon the ratification of the Constitution by the people of Arizona, and in compliance with unusual requirements of the Enabling Act, its approval by the Congress and the President, or approval by the President in the event of the failure of Congress to act at the ensuing session of that body. At an election held February 9, 1911, the people of Arizona ratified the Constitution by a vote of 12,187 to 3,302, and the 62nd Congress, after a protracted debate, adopted a resolution of approval. This, however, was on August 15, 1911, vetoed by President William H. Taft, who gave as a primary reason his unalterable opposition to the provision for the recall by the people of public offices, including judicial officers. A second resolution was therefore adopted by the Congress and approved by the President, which fixed as the price of statehood the holding of an election at which the people of Arizona should adopt an amendment removing judicial officers from the provision of the recall. The demand was complied with at an election held December 12, 1911. 14,963 votes being cast in favor of removal of the offending provision and 1,890 against it. The significance of the vote was not that the people of Arizona opposed the recall of the judiciary, but that they favored statehood. They kept their eye on the goal. Remember that. At the first election following the desired consummation, the provision was restored to its original form by a vote of 16,272 to 3,705. On February 14, 1912, President Taft issued a proclamation declaring Arizona an equal state in the Union, thus giving effect to the Constitution amended at his behest. Remember that. They kept their eye on the goal of statehood for Arizona. Remember that we must keep our eye on the goal of the Constitution of the United States of America and keeping the Bill of Rights, our freedom. Don't lose them. Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. It's Cindy Myers from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi.
How are you? You had a nice show tonight. I know you're on your own and you probably needed a little...
Yeah.
The great,
that was great. Did you call in before?
I did, but I didn't I didn't want to say my first name because I wanted... I really want Bill to know that people really do care, and I didn't want him to just know that, like, I was calling.
Right.
Listen, I have a little tidbit of information for you about April 19th, 1993.
Uh-huh.
In the Farmer's Almanac... that day is listed as an occultic day, and it has to do with the position of Venus in the sky.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what this is, after all, that's what this is all about.
That's right, yeah.
This is the satanic religion, and I think that that is kind of significant about that date.
Right. Maybe I can mention that on Monday.
You might, yeah.
I still got Monday and Tuesday to tuck in a few little goodies.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
I do.
Well, anyway,
April,
you know, it's...
April 19th, 1993 was an occult...
An occult day, and it had to do, something to do with, you know, I don't really understand this because I'm not into this, like, astrology thing, but I looked at these symbols, and it has to do with the planet Venus. Now, Venus is, what, the morning star?
Uh-huh.
Or do they call it the morning or the evening? I mean, the morning star is like Venus.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to give all the interpretations either, but the documentation would be from the 1993 Farmer's Almanac.
Yes.
I almost bought it about a month ago for this year.
It's called the Old Farmer's Almanac. Actually, I went and looked through the whole entire year to see if there were other occultic days. And that's the only day listed in 1993 as an occult day.
Really? You've gone through it and you checked that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, now naturally there could be other ones that were just not listed, but obviously the Farmer's Almanac is big into, like, the position of the moon and the and
right.
all that stuff. I don't really understand it fully, but I think that there's something about that.
Well, maybe somebody else would pick up on it and
know
more. But if that's the only occult with that one word, we can say that. That's very interesting.
Yes, it's the only one I saw. And I tried to look through this year, too, but I really didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it looks like you had a nice response tonight. I just wanted to call and...
Oh, thank you, yeah.
You did a nice job.
Yeah, and I got it out that Pooh is okay. And
yes,
I guess my message didn't get to Annie because I thought maybe she'd call from... over there and tell us, you know, big crowd or the ocean looks blue or something.
Anything.
Yeah.
I had to hear about Pooh and it was hairspray, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, the poor little thing.
Yeah. You know, when they, it's that environmental group out there worrying about the aerosol cans being dangerous to the ozone layer or something. But I guess you could spray yourself, too, with bad stuff. It's just children and...
I know.
As Bill said, she's only three.
Yeah.